Hey, let's have a show, all right?
The supervisor guy turns off the factory lights so the robots have to work in the dark. And there's a carload of kids with beer and cigarettes burning out and doing lawn jobs in the park. And there's a shitty limousine parked in front of the
park. Hey everybody, never got to welcome to another one of these, huh? We're about a day late and a dollar short. About a lot of dollars short, because there's no dollars to be had. But we put up a classic episode that I hope you enjoyed. I believe we put up the whiskey tasting episode yesterday, which is from about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. My favorite part is we start drinking whiskey. Alec and Val are there, and Alec says, "Pour me a small one," and Val says, "What are you going to do, hit me?" So if you didn't catch that one, or caught it one time before but haven't caught it again, I would recommend catching it. We have a lot to talk about today, like always. I'm going to just start right off with had some more gym incidents. Like always, this gymnasium is fucking killing me. Can I just tell you that? Everyone says the health benefits of the gym. Go to the gym. It's so good for you. What they don't say is there will be other people there who will harass you, and a lot of the benefit of going there is gone. I was in there the other day, last week actually. I was there kind of late, almost 10 p.m. on a Friday. Friday's a great day to go because almost nobody goes there because it's the weekend. So fitness stops on the weekend, as we all know. So it's the perfect day for me. I was there. I was almost the last person in there. There was one other guy in there. And I was just thinking, this is marvelous. I never understood the I Am Legend or the Omega Man, how they're like, I'm so lonely. I'd be like, I don't know, if the power still worked, if things were still fun, if I could basically do anything I wanted, it wouldn't be so bad. Wouldn't be so bad. The real sick thing is I'd probably still record these. That would be fucking sickening. Yeah, a million years from now, someone finds them and they're like, well, this guy went goddamn nuts. He just kept talking into this penis-looking device. By the way, everything looks like a penis for some reason on this planet. And he just kept going with that. Couldn't stop himself. So at this gym, I have a lot of encounters, and I had a real bad one about a week ago, and a weird one today. The one a week ago was probably more heinous, so I don't know if I should tell these chronologically or in the order. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them in the order of outrage. So I'm going to start with the one that was today, and then go, because I think once I tell the other one, it's going to be hard to come back and tell the more recent, because it doesn't seem as bad. I mean, it's bad. Here's what it was. As usual, I tried to go. I bought a hat. Okay, I got excited that they had plain baseball hats at Walmart for $3. And they're just like a trucker hat with nothing on them. They had a navy one and a black one, and those are the only ones I saw, and I got them both. I'm not really into navy hats. But I'm into Navy Pier, and I thought that if I had this hat, I could wear it in addition to my full sweats and hood and headphones, and that could be one more layer that prevents me from talking to people. But inevitably, I don't know how to put off many more signals. You know, I feel like there's just some people out there who see a porcupine and say, well, I think I could pet that if I go with the grain. I mean, as long as you don't go against the quills, it's probably fine. I think you might even like it. I think I confuse porcupines with critters quite often. I'm not actually sure if porcupines can shoot their quills out or if that's just critters. They can shoot out a quill and hit you in the neck with it. I'm starting to think that might be critters and not porcupines, because that makes a porcupine seem dead. You know, can it, if you're on the highway, could a porcupine from the side of the road shoot its quill into your tire and you get a blowout? You roll your car? Like, if nature decides, all right, enough is enough, I'm making my comeback, I'm bringing sexy back, and by sexy I mean doom, could the porcupine participate in that way? I mean, it would have a lot of other ways to participate. But mostly the porcupine seems to be responsible for just really ruining a dog's day here and there. See a picture of a dog, it's got about 800 quills in its face, and it looks miserable. Well, that's what you get. You can't just smell anything that's alive. Okay, dogs, any dogs listening out there, I just want to send that message. Just because something's alive does not mean, well, that's basically permission for me to smell it as a dog with my huge dog nose. No, it is not that way. Oh, well, we got way off track there. My hat, I had all this stuff on. A guy I know came up to me today, and he said, how's it going? I said, good, how are you? Which is a mistake. I should just say, you know, and then turn around and just start going. I'll tell you this. They say, you know, some people will tell you, oh, take as little rest as possible between lifts. And trying to avoid talking to people is a good way to really push you back into that cage. You say, oh, well, you know, I got to get right back on it. What I need to do is get a watch and set it for 30 seconds, so it just beeps every 30 seconds, and I can say, gotta go. Gotta go do whatever the hell I was doing. Do you even know? I don't know. Why were you keeping track of me? Keep track of your own shit. So the guy comes up to me, says, how you doing? I say, good, how are you? And he says, oh, okay. I'm on day three of a 5-day fast. Nothing but water. So this guy is just starving himself. Now, he's a big fat guy. I said, oh, well, that sounds pretty big. I didn't know what else to say. What do you say to that? Because all I could think to say was, well, that sounds idiotic. I mean, right? Am I right? Even if you are heavy, if you're 300 pounds, a total fast is not wise. I don't think that's a wise decision. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But I'll tell you, when I don't eat for 3 hours, I start to become a grumpy ass face shithead. So I can only imagine if I hadn't eaten for 3 days that in addition to losing weight, I would be losing friends, acquaintances, lovers, anyone who wanted anything to do with me. It just would not work. And what do you do? I mean, do you still go to work? You just say, like, well, just letting you guys know I'm going to be a miserable bastard for the next several days. Self-inflicted. I decided that I'm just not going to eat things. That's my new plan. This is what I came up with as an adult human man. Is I weigh more than I'd like, so my solution is I'll just never eat again, and therefore will lose weight. Now, he did say that before he lost about 16 pounds when he did this, which is significant. I'll give you that. 16 pounds, that's quite a large number of lbs to drop in 5 days. However, it's dumb. I mean, you could lose 16 pounds if you just cut one of your legs off, for example. That would be a good way to do it. I don't know. People get really excited to tell you about their asinine plans for weight loss and fitness. I don't know why. I don't know if they want a validation, if they want me to say, hey, I think that's a great idea. I hope that's not what they want, because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell somebody, I think not eating for several days in a row, just straight up not eating, and then also exercising, by the way. He's not in a survival situation where he's at sea. And he says, well, I didn't eat for 3 days. he's going about his normal day and he's going to the gymnasium and not eating. So I'm never going to say, I think that's a brilliant idea. I don't know why more people didn't think of that. Just don't eat. And then how could you possibly be fat? Sort of. Yeah. Why not just be dead? Why would you care if you were fat? And then by that logic, you'd say, well, I don't want to be dead. And then say, all right, well, just be fat then. Done. By that's not even logic, but whatever. You're listening to Helpful Snowman Radio. Okay? Logic. This other guy. So let's go back in the time machine to 2 weeks ago when this other guy, I'm doing some bench pressing stuff on a bench press machine. Not machine. Bench press. Bench, I guess. And there's a guy on the one next to me. Now, this is a guy I've seen many times before who I find very strange. He's very tall, very thin, and he has this weird way of carrying himself around where you can tell, I don't know if this is what he thinks, but the way he walks makes me think that he thinks he's very awesome. Very, very cool. He also smells. He smells terrible, and he wears these tight Under Armour shirts that are so tight that you can see his bones or his different parts through his shirt. You can see, I don't see his nipples, however, they could be there. I don't know. I mean, if he bent over, you could see the different bones of his spine through his shirt. I don't know how a shirt can be that tight and show that much definition without showing color of skin through the shirt. That's one of life's great mysteries as far as I'm concerned. How you can be that horrifying to me, Pete, with your shirt, yet not show the color through it. It's really a scientific marvel in the way of, you know, experiments that Nazi scientists did on twins is sort of a scientific marvel. How did this happen? Why did it happen? Dear God, no. He also smells, which I don't appreciate. He smells when he arrives. And he always smells, and he smells enough that when you're good 5 feet away from him, you smell it, right? And the areas where he's been smell. One time as a youth, I have this distinct memory of being in a Hobby Lobby and walking into a cloud of horrible fart gas, just down an aisle of fucking yarn or something, who knows. One of these trips you take with your mom, where she's looking at God knows what because she's going to start a new hobby for God knows why. Because you're like, you're a mom. You got me. I'm horrible. You got my brother. Not as horrible, but still horrible. Your life is horrible. I don't think anything in this craft store is going to improve things for you. What are you going to buy? Scrapbooking stuff? For what? To record how unhappy you are? Scrapbooking is a weird hobby to me. Because in theory, right, you'd have to, I feel like I would start scrapbooking and 2 minutes in be like, this is really depressing because I have nothing to put in here. I don't know what to put in this scrapbook. And I'm sad. Now I'm sad. So anyway, was in the Hobby Lobby and walked through a fart cloud. This happened a second time as well. Almost the same thing. Same store. Which made me think, what's going on with Hobby Lobby? Why is this just... Is this why moms go there? They just say, well, I can go there and just fart. I'm not going to find any, I don't know, single men there. I don't have to impress anybody. Not at a goddamn dance or wherever you go as a single mom. I'm in Hobby Lobby. Who cares? Hey... You ever want to... Hold on. Need like a Hobby Lobby theme song? What the hell would a Hobby Lobby theme song sound like? I can't even decide what kind of music they would listen to. Well, I got an idea. Hold on. Da-da-da. Here we go. There's some nice Hobby Lobby type music, I think. We'll see if she's got ads. If she's got ads on her YouTube, it's official. She's awful. I mean, it's already official. She's awful. Oh, yep. She's awful. She has made $1 million a million times, and she still has ads on her YouTube channel. I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck? You can't even skip them either. Well, here's a horrible bitch with a song for Hobby Lobby. By the way, that pretty much just ripped off Free Fallin', but is worse. Hey, single moms. You ever wanted to walk around a store where you could just fart like crazy? Stink up a whole aisle of yarn? Wait till the fart particles really absorb into the yarn and really just... God knows what kind of Afghan a grandma's gonna make out of that. It's just made out of yarn and held together with poo particles of a complete stranger, a sad mom who's got the worst gas because she's been drinking nothing but wine and eating nothing but frozen Capri Suns that she puts in the freezer and then cuts the top off and eats with a spoon. That's a recipe for gas, let me tell you. And hey, come down to Hobby Lobby, expel that gas. Buy a fucking bowl full of fake fruit for your table. We've got it all. We've got fake grapes. We've got fake apples and bananas. We've got wreaths. Whoa. You ever thought a wreath was just for Christmas? Ha! You're a fucking idiot. We got wreaths for all holidays. Halloween wreaths. Valentine's Day wreaths. That one's in a heart shape. We've got a goddamn 4th of July wreath that would blow your goddamn mind right out of your fucking face, you piece of shit. Looked like Lucy Liu is in this video working at a bar. I keep waiting for her to come back, but I can't tell. Celine Dion is insane. I think Celine Dion thinks she's really attractive. And I wouldn't say that she's really attractive. I mean, she's okay looking. But I don't know. And this is a really awful song. God, you need to watch this video. The looks that she gives to the camera of just like, don't you just love me? Aren't I just so right? This was her Alanis Morissette ironic moment, you know? Where she's saying, she's saying what we're all thinking. Guess what, Celine Dion? You have never been saying what we're all thinking. That is not a thing. Nobody says, Celine Dion is really saying what I'm thinking. Fuck you. No. Jesus Christ, no. Ugh. And then it gets really crazy. Anyway, Hobby Lobby. So after walking through terrible gas in Hobby Lobby, there was a third incident, rule of threes. And it really happened this time. I left my own terrible gas cloud in a Hobby Lobby. Yes, 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 yes. This happened. You know the problem with this show when I do it by myself? No fucking idea. No idea how we got here. What happened? What I was thinking. Where I am. Who I am. I just wish I was dead. Okay? I just wish I was dead. God. All right. Focus. So this motherfucker, this smelly, skinny bastard, I'm on the bench press next to him. He comes over to my bench press. He says, hey, I'm doing a thing. Do you think you could spot me when I'm going back up on my sets or my reps or whatever? And I say, oh yeah, no problem. I don't mind spotting somebody because whatever, that's fine. It's not a big deal. It doesn't take a lot of time. usually. And better than them just doing something stupid, right? We can all help each other out. So I say sure. Now, at this point, I kind of watch him for a little while and all of a sudden realize what he's doing is he has 5-pound plates on each side of the bar. So he's got a total of 100 pounds on the bar, which for anyone who's wondering is not, that's not a crazy amount. And what he'll do is he'll do a set of 10 bench presses, then he'll take 1 5-pound weight off of each side, decreasing the total weight by 10 pounds. He will do another set of 10 and take another 5 pound off each side. So this means that going downwards, the part he doesn't need help with, he will be doing 100 repetitions of bench press, which even doing them quickly and terribly, like he was, takes some fucking time. Just imagine doing 100 of anything. Just push your arms in front of you 100 times, 10 times, then get up for a minute or slightly less, and then do it again. Push your arms 10 times. Count how long that takes. I'm not going to do it on the show because I'm not that much of a fucker. I already just wasted your time because I completely spaced out. I don't know what happened, and I apologize. And I will not waste your time doing this live now in order to recoup that time loss for all of us. But go ahead and do it. See how long it takes. Now, that's going down. Okay, that's faster. Going up is more of a struggle. So, I think surely he's not going to go all the way back up from none plates to 10 on each side, 20. Sure enough, he starts going and he's doing okay. I go over there and he says, all right, you know, here's what I got to do. I got to get 10 reps of each. And I say, okay. It shouldn't be a problem, right? Just the bar. That's easy. A couple more. Now, the whole time, he does a set of 10, and then I'm helping him out by taking, adding another plate to each side. Not so much because I care to help him, more because I'm thinking, this is going to take goddamn 20 minutes. Easy. Because if he has to do 100 bench press reps, plus rest in between, plus as he gets higher, it's going to get much harder. So he gets about halfway. He's got about 5 plates on his side, each side, when I have to start heavy spotting him. Okay, this is like the when you need the super tampon, heavy spotting. I was doing half the fucking work of lifting the goddamn barbell up and putting it back in the rack. In between each set, he's also telling me all about, he's entering a muscle contest or a figure contest or some kind of contest, a show, he called it. He says, oh yeah, I'm bulking up for a show. He had that voice too. Not the voice, but the way of talking. I'm bulking up for a show in August. So yeah, it's pretty hard. He's telling me about how, it's so hard to eat 6,000 calories a day. Oh yeah, it'd be easy if I could just eat McDonald's. I could have 3 burgers. First of all, I eat 3 Wendy's all the time. And I'll tell you, it is not 6,000 calories, idiot. Secondly, here's a lesson I've learned, okay? Let me tell a little tale, and hopefully I'll remember what I was talking about before this tale. One time this lady I worked with went on vacation, and she went to Florida. Florida, land of Disneys and beaches. And when she came back, she was walking funny. And she spent about an hour at work complaining because she said, my calves, my legs are so sore because I walked on the beach so much. And after she said it about 2 times, I just laughed at her. And then I said, listen, nobody is going to feel bad for you for being sore from walking on the fucking beach. When we were all at work last week, you were walking on the beach, and you overdid it walking on the beach, which is understandable because you were walking on the beach. You'll notice how people will overdo it, drinking, eating delicious food. I mean, nobody's like, oh man, I really overdid it on the celery yesterday. Jesus, I ate a whole bag. Did that ever happen? I was sitting in front of the TV, and I didn't even realize I ate the whole bag of celery. Oh, I went to the movies. They sell these bags of celery. It's delicious. They put fucking garlic salt on them. It's amazing. No. Okay? You overdo it because it's something great. But then nobody feels bad for you. Because it's... well, would I take sore calves if it meant I could take a week of vacation and walk on the beach? Yeah. So stop complaining about your sore calves. Eating a lot is the same thing. I did remember. Look at that. I went racing back to it. No one is going to really be interested in hearing you say, yeah, it's pretty hard to eat a lot. Well, okay. I suppose there are challenges there. But no one cares about those. This is the problem. No one's going to sympathize with you and say, oh man, totes. Yeah, it is hard to eat a lot of food. You know what's hard is eating more food than your body naturally wants. Wow, what a hero. What a fucking hero you are. Thank God you're around. Asshole. So he's telling me about that. He's telling me about these contests he's going to be in. It's like, oh yeah, how long have you been lifting? I just say, I don't know. I don't know. One day, this is my first day. Who cares? I don't care about this. We're not buddies. And I'm angry. We're not buddies because you're making me stand here for 20 fucking minutes, loading one plate on at a time, doing half the work. And then as he's getting towards the end too, he says, hey, you might just have to help me, you know, this last set, I got to get in the 10. So even if that means I can only do two at a time and then I got to rest for a while in between each one, that's what I got to do. And I say, that's great. That works great for me too. So I'm pretty happy about this. Pretty excited, pretty thrilled that this is how I'm going to spend my time. I don't know. I mean, part of me, am I just like being a dick or am I right to say, I don't want to spend 20 minutes spotting a stranger who smells and wants to talk to me. And by the way, you're entering a contest where you stand on stage oiled in a bikini. And then you're dancing around. What the fuck? Really? Really? That's what you're doing. This is what you're doing with your life. Is standing around in a men's bikini, a thong probably, I don't know, tanning. You'll have to start tanning at some point. Getting oiled up. I mean, how do you do that? How does the oiling up work? Do you then just keep... Anyway, it took 20 fucking minutes and I was furious. You know, my friend was like, oh, you made a new friend. And I said, I fucking hope not, because I was not happy. And I don't think I would do that again. Can I tell you guys something? Can I give like some gym hints here for anyone who's starting out? This is fitness time of year. We're all getting in summer shape. Let me tell you something. If you're going to require 20 minutes of spotting on a bench press, great. Bring a fucking friend. If you don't have a friend, then you suck as a person and no one's going to care that you're in bikini briefs posing on a stage. All right. I think that's most of my gym. God, do I hate that place. I'm crashing, you guys. This is terrible. I wanted to do this because I don't know how much crossover I have here as far as the text website and the audio version of my life. But I wrote quite an extensive review for a romance novel. I read a romance novel. Everything's kind of explained in the review. And, you know, I had a request someone say that they like it when I read my work. And this would be my work of sorts. I guess this is a work. So let's try this. If you hate it, if you already read it, if me reading it out loud is worse, you just let me know. You just send me a tweet and I'll say, ha ha, you're right. And then seethe for the next 8 months. So here's the book. It's called License to Love by Gina Robinson. I think I'm just going to jump right in. Before reading, one star, by the way, and you have to give it one star, otherwise it counts as no rating and doesn't lower the star rating. Before reading this, know two things. One, spoilers abound. Spoilers abound because I would not recommend this book to anyone I care about. And by care about, I mean anyone with human eyes to read a book and human arms to hold a book in front of said eyes. Two, please know that I went in fully aware that I am thoroughly not the audience for this book. I expected I wouldn't enjoy it on any level whatsoever. So if you typically enjoy this sort of book, please know that my review is the opinion of someone for whom this book was not written. Don't let my disenjoyment ruin your enjoyment. I'm not bashing you for enjoying something you enjoy, probably. On with the show. How did I end up reading this? That's the first question you'd be asking if you knew anything about me whatsoever. Here, I'll prove it. One thing about me, I would never read a book like this ever for any reason. See, now that you know this one thing about me, you'd probably be asking why I would ever read this book. There's a perfectly logical answer, of sorts. A friend who reads romance came across this book's description in a trade magazine, and upon reading felt that I would hate it like poison. Yes, I got a laugh from the descriptions, mostly due to the fact that the book is about a Vegas magician named Rock Powers who becomes embroiled in some sort of CIA nonsense for some reason. By the way, this review is also a drinking game. Every time I say the phrase, for some reason, feel free to tip one back. A lot of stuff happens in this book, for some reason. Not no reason, but some. There are reasons for everything that happens, but most of them, I just can't. Hold on a second. That was a nice noise. Instead of saying to drink, I'll just... And you'll know. So this is the audio version. So this friend went ahead and put in an interlibrary loan request for me. This could be embarrassing to someone who could be embarrassed by such a thing. I wasn't, until the interlibrary loan department mentioned that they wouldn't be able to get the book on loan, so they would just go ahead and purchase it, adding it to the collection. They were also kind enough to put me at the top of the request list. A couple weeks later, I was holding a shiny new library copy of License to Love. If you're ever in northern Colorado and check out this debacle, my new word combining debacle and book, you're welcome slash I'm sorry for what I've done. So let's get to it. The book opens with Vegas magician Rock Powers. Stop. Already we have to stop. His name is fucking Rock Powers. You know what? Fine. I'm along for the ride here. Fine. At one of his Vegas magic shows, Rock Powers... Can we call him something else? I feel so silly typing Rock Powers. How about Maximum Cornelius Overdrive? Slade Piledriver? Jackhammer Esquire? No? At one of his Vegas magic shows, Rock Powers performs an illusion that causes his wife of about a day, Lonnie Torres, to disappear. Much to the chapping of his finely toned magician slash bodybuilder slash secret agent slash doctor ass, she actually disappears and he can't find her. Cut to the chase. Turns out she was a secret agent, and for some reason, she picked right then to run off and stop the Hoover Dam from being blown up. We've all been there. I remember my last girlfriend vanished for a few days to save the Empire State Building, not to mention the time she was only gone a few hours rescuing some of our nation's lesser landmarks. The Hancock Building, stuff at Yellowstone that's not Old Faithful, these sorts of things. Solani disappears for a couple years before she returns and reveals that she was a secret agent all along. Oh, and her name isn't Lonnie Torres like she said, it's Lonnie Silkwater. Yes, Lonnie Torres is the name she used to be a magician's assistant, while Lonnie Silkwater was her real name. Oh, and while we're on the topic of names, during her vanishing, she gave birth to Rock's baby, who she named Stone because why the fuck not? Stone Powers. Christ. Now you might be asking, why would she keep Rock's baby a secret? And why wouldn't she just come back after she finished this damn caper? Her term, hand to God, caper. Here's something I've learned about the way to read this book. If you ask a bunch of questions, we'll be here all goddamn night. Just say that for some reason, she couldn't come back and we'll call it good. So the new question we shouldn't be asking, why is Lonnie back now? Well, that one has an answer, although it starts with for some reason. For some reason, the CIA or whoever the fuck it is needs rock powers. I think it might be some other cute organization. I don't know. We're saying CIA because you know what that is and I know what it is and there's just too much to explain. Anyway, the CIA needs rock powers because, and I'm going to do my best here. If you haven't been faithfully drinking up to now, I'd suggest you catch up. The CIA has uncovered a plot by the evil organization known as Riot to infiltrate Area 51. They plan to use a magic trick to spook attendees of a UFO Watchers Festival thingy, which will cause them to storm the gates of Area 51 in a panic for some reason. And then for some reason, this will allow Riot access to Area 51. The magic trick in question is none other than Outlandish Marauders, a trick conceived by none other than Rock Powers. The CIA's plan is for Rock Powers to beat Riot to the punch, perform the trick himself, and once he reveals it was only an illusion, the panic will subside and everyone will be cool. This is the CIA's plan to stop someone from entering their top secret facility, which has no fences, locks, or anything like that. Rather than go ahead and put a barrel bolt on the door, our best bet is to pull off some sort of bizarre magic act before a secret terrorist organization can do so. This is where we are. I locked myself out of my apartment a few nights ago and had to ask the on-site manager to let me back in. This is for a pathetic man's apartment that contains exactly zero government secrets. My apartment is more secure than a government base. If someone wanted to break into my apartment, I would suggest hard kicking the door until it fell over. Maybe break a window. What I would not suggest is hosting a block party, panicking the guests by way of insane magic trick, and hoping they'll freak out in a very specific way that causes them to break down my door. Of ways to break into something, this would never occur to me, and if it did, I would check into a hospital immediately for some sort of brain scan. Because a part is either missing, or I have an extra part, or somehow a snail got in there and is activating shit with his slime trail. I don't know what is wrong, but I know that something's wrong. At this point, for some reason, Lonnie has to go undercover, sort of, and get in good with the magician hired by Riot to perform outlandish marauders, who just so happens to be Rock Power's nemesis, Saul. Rock and Saul were buddies from magic school days, a friendship which Rock figured cemented after Saul saved Rock's life. During an attempt at a trick to an escape from a straitjacket while water skiing, Rock fell into the water and was sinking. Like a rock. Luckily, Saul saved Rock by catching him with a grappling hook somehow and dragging him back above water. The grappling hook left a scar on Rock's thigh, and afterwards, this is where he got his first of many tattoos, the text, "Expect the Unexpected." This is what I'm saying. How the fuck am I supposed to get through this? Everything that happens, there are 500 little things that make me stop and think, wait, the fuck? Which is why at this point, I decided it was time for shit to get real. And this brings us to the wine interlude. I'm not a romance reader, but I figured that when in romance, drink wine and take a bubble bath. Step one was purchasing wine. I'm not exactly a wine connoisseur. In fact, most of my wine experience comes from a single evening when some charitable friends agreed to help school me in the finer things. See past episodes of Helpful Snowman. The night ended with me drunkenly calling my sister, who lives on the East Coast, to ask her to take us to Taco Bell. Finer things indeed. Should I just see if I can pull that up right now for your enjoyment? See if I can get the video. I think you might enjoy my call to my sister. Here we go. Here's my little channel here. Here are some terrible videos I've made. Helpful Snowman radio calls. Let's just see the results. By the way, I also had a cold and took cold medicine.
Yes, I have just missed your call. Please leave a message after the beep, and I will be sure to get back to you. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day. At the tone.
She seems so nice. Well, when she met me, she's like, who is this kid?
And Nick and I were so mad.
She's like, who the fuck are you calling
kid? That's drunk
me. You're like 7, and I'm like 12.
Hey, I was just calling because I thought this would be your big chance to make it up to Nicanor for calling
McKay
and take us to Taco Bell or call
I'm sorry I hate Metallica so much.
I thought this would be a good chance for you to force one of your friends to take us to Taco Bell, and then also force one of your friends to spoon with me so I wouldn't feel lonely. Nothing sexual. Just because my arm falls asleep if I sleep normal. So if you call me back in the next 10 minutes or so, that would fix everything, okay? Otherwise, never contact me again. Goodbye.
And that's the time before this that I had wine. So here we go. Taco Bell, finer things indeed. I couldn't give you any reason for picking up this particular bottle other than it came down to a decision between this one or one called Little Black Dress. I was too embarrassed to buy Little Black Dress for purposes of drinking in the bath and reading a romance novel. So good news, I have one small shred of pride remaining at the very least. I'm told that I pour inappropriately large glasses of wine, which must be true because by my count, an entire bottle only contains two glasses. This is something I'd put in the category of willful ignorance. I don't know what the right amount is, and frankly, I think this is to my benefit. I also made an attempt to buy bonbons. The problem was that I don't know what bonbons actually are. I checked the freezer section, no dice, so I gave up and went home to set the scene, including a lavender candle and bubble bath, which I have a question about. What's the average fill time on a bathtub? Because mine seems to take about 3 hours. I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure it would be faster to hire an old-timey innkeeper lady to boil water in a huge pot on the stove and dump it in. I think people might take more baths if the fill time was not measured in phases of the fucking moon. There should be some fucking I'm just adding fucking in here. There should be some faster way to take care of this. I'm not kidding. I seriously considered filling glasses in the sink and bringing them to the bathtub. However, I just figured I could get a head start on the wine, so I had tasks to keep me busy. And we're ready. The next section of the book pretty much flew by. I read until it got to where I was squinting and not really sure what was going on anymore, which wasn't all that different from before, just drunker. I can't really read all that well drunk, but I found that this wasn't a big problem in this case. At least, I didn't feel like I was missing out on any enjoyment. And any time I can do any activity at the same level while being drunk, I can say two things. One, this activity is dumb. See, dancing. Two, if I ever do this again, I will plan on drunk. See, also dancing. I don't really want to go through this entire book blow by blow because I just can't. And a lot of it was, here's the plan, and then a second scene where we saw the plan executed exactly as planned. I can't think of a more effective way to take the fun out of a situation. Plan it out carefully, then have it go according to plan. So rather than go through with everything in order, I'll just pull out a few snippets that I felt really explained things better than the entirety of the text ever could. Scene: the poker game. At one point, Rock Powers is watching another secret agent's back while this agent participates in a poker game. Powers is banned, of course, because he wins too much. In addition to being an expert magician, Rock Powers also has the following skills: expert lip reader, water skier, escape artist, can hold breath for 7 minutes, face reader, expert at sex, uncanny powers of observation, doctor, junior high rope climbing champion, and spitball shooter. Yes, spitballs play a part during this poker game. An enemy spy sneaks in a gun disguised as a stylus, which would sound bizarre if Rock Powers weren't already sporting a single-shot pistol disguised to look like his thumb. Yes, a fake thumb that slips over his real thumb and is a pistol somehow. I don't know if there are any normal guns in this book, but I do know that Powers is also given a 6-shot pistol that is disguised as a magic wand. Whether this is a horrible pistol and a passable wand, or a passable pistol and a horrible wand, I don't know. It's best not to ask too many questions, because the later appearance of a rocket launcher equipped with a bayonet will just blow your mind right through your face. Anyway, we're playing this high-stakes poker game. Now, I have a problem with poker games and narratives, because that's boring. I get it in as much as you want some physical business for your characters, but Christ, what have we ever learned about a character from a poker game? Oh, James Bond is a slick motherfucker? I had no idea. And also, who gives a shit? It's not like James Bond is going to lose a poker game and have to kill and eat his dog for Christmas dinner. No. He walks away from the table in his suit and bangs some exotic lady. So poker stuff irks me to begin with. But somehow we have an even more boring version of poker where Rock Powers can't play, so he writes down the moves he would have made if he were in the player's shoes. Riveting. Electrifying. We've gone from a card game, which I already abhor, to a hypothetical version of a made-up card game that I don't care about in the first place. At any rate, the game is interrupted when a thug puts the stylus gun in one player's back. Powers, of course, notices this because his magician's eye gives him uncanny powers of observation. But because he can't interrupt the game with his thumb gun, he elects to shoot the thug with a spitball, which causes him to drop the stylus and everything's cool. Scene. Limo sex. When we finally get some sex in this book, it's in the back of a limo where Rock Powers blew off a smoke bomb so that the paparazzi couldn't get pictures of him and Lonnie. Apparently, in the reality of this book, if we're going to call it that, magicians are the hottest celebs in town. Everyone knows Rock Powers. They want to know what happened to Lonnie, and her reappearance on the scene is the biggest tabloid tale since Batboy. I don't know about you, but I do not give a shit about magicians. Seriously, how much do we really need to know about these guys? And you know why I don't follow magicians? I'm not nine. Okay? If I was nine, then yes, I might care about a magician. But as someone who is not nine, I couldn't care less. Anyway, they have this limo sex because it is required to make sure Lonnie has a good flow of endorphins, which is the only way to overcome the potential hangover she might experience from a drug she was dosed with. Now, I've heard some interesting hangover remedies in my time. Grease, green drinks, about 15 episodes of My Cat from Hell on streaming Netflix. What I haven't come across is a nice bang in the back of a limo full of magician smoke. Believe me, if I'm drugged or drunk enough that I try to convince you to have sex with me in order to head off a hangover, I'll be drugged or drunk enough that I won't be able to do much convincing. Hey, have sex. Have sex with me. Because I'll be so hung. No? Okay. Taco Bell, please. Let's just Taco Bell. And let me tell you, Rock Powers, everything's a smoke bomb with this guy. He's lighting off smoke bombs to get out of gunfire. He's lighting smoke bombs to have sex in limos. He lights smoke bombs to facilitate escape into a laundry cart in a hotel hallway. This man lights more smoke bombs than I did in my entire life, and most of middle school for me was about finding, purchasing, and lighting smoke bombs in whatever way possible. Because of the smoke, this sex has to happen while both participants hold their breath. This leads me to believe that I'm doing sex either terribly right or terribly wrong, because there's no way I could hold my breath. Try this. Get aroused, then sprint. Boner sprint as far as you can while holding your breath. It will not be far. God help me for knowing this, but I know it will not be far. Scene. Outlandish Marauders. Rock Powers assembles his team of young magicians / CIA agents, of which there are apparently many, to help him perform his big illusion. He picks a social media magician who can manipulate Facebook for some reason. He picks a laser magician who can manipulate lasers for some reason. He picks a video game magician who I would also make fun of, except I'm not even really sure what in the hot holy fuck that could possibly be. He also has some other magicians, and then the CIA builds him a UFO. The trick, from what I can tell, goes like this. You're partying at the UFO convention in the Nevada desert about 10 miles from Area 51, when a UFO shows up, a for real UFO. Then a couple aliens show up on the ground and start running away right towards Area 51. They are bounding and almost seem to teleport and reappear further away. At one point, a whole shitload of cows are released, which slows you down as you try to catch the aliens. Then after you've run 10 goddamn miles, the aliens reveal they are magicians, the UFO is revealed as totally real except it was made by the CIA, and for some motherfucking reason, everyone credits Rock Powers with pulling off the greatest illusion of all time. Granted, he didn't do shit. Oh, and as far as illusions go, I guess there was a lie involved in saying the UFO was an alien spacecraft, but the thing goddamn existed. So where, Rock Powers, is the illusion exactly? Oh, and Rock Powers defeats his nemesis magician who wields a rocket launcher with a bayonet attached while both are aboard a hovercraft. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the craziest sentence ever typed outside the pages of License to Love. This book left me speechless, then type full, because I can still can't wrap my head around anything that happened there. I sort of wish that someone else had read it, because then I could confirm that all this really happened and it wasn't a wine-induced night terror from which I'll never wake. The final question, was it so bad that it was fun? Answer, no. Well, yes, but no. Okay, the thing is, I just don't know if it's possible for a book of 300 plus pages to be so bad that it's fun. Because the fun of something bad wears off once the bad becomes baseline reality. You have a period of big fun at the beginning as you try to figure out if this is a gag. Then you figure out it's not, and things are briefly even more fun. But then it just becomes white noise. The puns about Rock leaving no stone unturned, only himself, Rock powers upended, just become the beige walls and the beige office of your day-to-day life. It's like taking a bath. Fun at first, novel. Then you're just sort of there naked in your own body stew. You wonder about dropping a bouillon cube and seeing what man broth tastes like, and then you're bored again. Or it's like wine. Hard to get used to the first couple sips, then great, then everything is confusing and you just want to go to bed. But mostly, it was like a book that I absolutely hated. Oh, and yeah, my second wine experience didn't end in Taco Bell, but took place about 18 inches from a toilet, Your Highness. The end. That is my review of License to Love. A terrible, terrible book. God forbid you should ever read it. And you know what? While we're at this, while we're on this track, while we're on whatever that was, I've been working on a little thing. I had this idea, okay, of something I might try here. And what that is to write short, I don't know, probably 10,000 word little books and put them on Amazon for $1. Okay? This is my new plan. And I have been hard at work on one. And I'll just reveal the plot to you at this point and then read a little excerpt, a little first page. If you've ever seen the motion picture Three Ninjas, it's about these three little kids who learn karate. And at some point, their dad gets kidnapped because he's like the CEO of a company. And they rescue him. What? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm real screwed up right now. So I was thinking about these kids' movies, you know, your Blank Checks, your Three Ninjas, your Five Cowboys, whatever they have. I was thinking about these movies and then thinking about the dad in the movies and how strange this would be. If you were the dad and all of a sudden your sons were ninjas and you're just a normal guy thinking, what the fuck is going on? What do you mean they're ninjas? So that's kind of what this story is. So this is a kind of unproofed, rough, raw format, but something that I hope to have ready in the next little bit. And it's called Ninja Sons. So I'll just read the first little part here. Most dads would be proud to have three ninja sons who foiled an international plot of evil. Most dads would be over the moon, way over, probably over Mars. But most dads are also complete idiots. That's why they have kids in the first place. They were too dumb to avoid making a baby grow inside someone, sometimes even a bunch of times in a row. I get making babies in different people. You maybe slipped up once, but then you're thinking, surely this lady's parts don't work the same way. So if I stick with the plan, I should be safe. But to put more than one baby in the same lady, that's just being real dumb. You know how else dads are dumb? They can't figure a way out of doing dad stuff. So they pick up these hobbies that they absolutely hate, but it's just a way they can be out of their houses. Like fishing. That's the dumbest shit ever. Why does fishing happen at 6 a.m.? Do fish even know what time it is? Do they know what time is at all? Does that even matter under the water? And why did they have to invent a new kind of fishing where you stand in the middle of the goddamn river? I went fishing one time, and you know what happened? Nothing. Except that my kids got me a tie that looked like a big fish instead of a tie for Christmas that year that didn't look like a big fish because I went fishing one time. Which was perfect for wearing to things that you have to wear ties to, like funerals or whatever. whatever that thing is where you tie it around a doorknob and try to come before you die. Which I guess brings us right back to my kids. You're saying, Dave, you're talking all this bad stuff about dads, but you're a dad. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. I ejaculate too much. Seriously, there's a lot in there. It is not a good thing. It's a terrible thing. I go long enough that I'm done orgasming way before the cum stops. Way before. Back when, I'd overflow a condom. Seriously. And let me tell you, there was room to spare. I'd have to tie the thing off like a water grenade and then set it gently in the trash to make sure it didn't pop. Now I keep one of those long tubes full of deep rock water cones clipped to the headboard, and I'll usually fill at least one. So I'm not entirely sure about how biology works, but I think it's safe to say that this problem had something to do with all three of these boys running around. The ninja thing, that's another story. So there you go. It's a little preview of Ninja Sons coming up in the near future. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Another show. Just me reading out loud. So I hope you liked it. If you hated it, let me know. Announcement-wise, I'll have another article going up live at litreactor.com on May 15th. And it's about a book breakup. How to stop reading a shitty book that you just can't break up with. I just finished it today, and hopefully it'll be okay. So if you like the show, if you like what goes on here, go over to litreactor.com, read that article, push like the Twitter or the Facebook button at the top, just share it, just fucking do it, okay? But the more people who share, the more people who visit, and if you're so inclined, I link to a bunch of really good books at the bottom, and if you want to buy one of those through the Amazon store, go for it. I had someone ask in email, if they click through the link and then buy a different version of the book, does it switch over? And no, it doesn't, because Amazon is fucking evil. So that's unfortunate. But at the same time, do that. Read that. Look at that. That's the biggest thing you can do to help keep this fucking train of shit rolling. You know, shit rolls downhill, and this shit train is building up a lot of steam. Steamy shit. Okay. See, I shouldn't have read that thing about all the cum. We'll see you guys next time. Just beneath the surface. Just beneath the surface. Just beneath the surface. Just beneath the surface.